Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Retro Baby, Timeless Activities to Boost Development, Without All the Gear, Second Edition. By Anne H. Zachary, Ph.D., OTR/L. Narrated by Colleen Marlowe. Forward. Have you ever held a garage sale? I just spent a long morning watching strangers rummage through big plastic bins full of stuff I bought my three children, ages 8 to 13, over the years, most of it with the intention of helping them develop inquisitive minds and strong bodies. There's nothing like seeing all those toys spread out in my driveway to help me realize that my children didn't need the vast majority of what was out there. Even worse, some of it may have done more harm than good. I am a sucker for marketing. When advertising executives think up their pitches and they imagine a suburban dad willing to waste money on whatever gadget will make his kids happy and offer them an edge in life, I'm the guy in their PowerPoint slides. If it sings, lights up, rolls, crawls, vibrates across the floor, or requires 12 AA batteries, not included, my kids had one. And what did they enjoy the most? Yep. The boxes all that stuff came in, except for the batteries. They have flimsy boxes. I didn't start out that way. No! My initial plan was to give my children only a set of alphabet blocks, two dolls, a truck, and a ball. But then there I was, standing in the aisle at the toy store, reading all the impressive-sounding claims on the boxes, touting how the musical, flashing piece of plastic inside would guarantee my baby entry into a prestigious graduate school. And I couldn't help myself. Home it came, and after an hour or two spent untwisting the several dozen wires holding it in place, there it was, providing my offspring a full 3.5 minutes of brain-stimulating pleasure before it was cast into the toy box, where it remained until it made its way to my driveway. You, however, don't have to make the same mistake I did. You have this book. Listen to it. Take notes. Bring it with you to the baby store. The knowledge in this book is more valuable than shelves full of toys. With your own skills and a few household items, you'll learn how to stimulate your baby's vision, hearing, language, and motor skills, and how to avoid inadvertently impairing those skills in your very efforts to foster them. You will gain a stronger relationship with your child, and all you have to lose is dozens of bins of plastic doohickeys that, I have to tell you, bring a very low price at garage sales. David L. Hill, M.D., FAAP, co-author, Co-Parenting Through Separation and Divorce, Putting Your Children First. Introduction. New isn't always better, especially when it comes to the health and well-being of our children. Over the past several decades, tremendous advances have been made in the development of baby products and technology for infants and toddlers. These innovations, such as bouncer seats, carriers, and baby educational videos, are intended to make our daily lives easier and more efficient. But at what cost? Is it possible that a baby's nervous system is not designed for the technological revolution that has taken place in our society? Can overusing baby gear, smart toys, and technology negatively affect the development of a child's cognitive, social, emotional, and motor skills? I believe it can. I am the mother of three, an occupational therapist, and a child development expert with more than 30 years in the field of pediatrics. And I have seen firsthand how the overuse of these advances can affect the development of children. In the past several decades, babies began spending more time with educational videos and high-tech toys, and the advent of baby gear brought about the trend of babies spending excessive amounts of time sedentary in plastic devices, such as bouncer seats and carriers. I've witnessed how these changes in babies' daily routines have contributed to an increase in mild developmental delays in infants, as well as an increase in the number of babies diagnosed with flat spots on their head. I've also discovered that many parents do not understand the dangers of extended equipment use and overexposure to technology. Of course, you want to give your children the best possible start in life. As a parent, you want to ensure your baby stays on track and meets those important developmental milestones. You'll do whatever it takes to help your little one build a strong foundation for future growth and development, including purchasing quality baby products that are safe and truly support learning and development. Yet there is so much to learn. So many decisions can be overwhelming. For example, which car safety seat is safest? Do you need a changing table? How do you choose the best stroller, swing, stationary activity center, bouncer seat, and play yard? And are all of these items even necessary? The head-spinning questions never end. You're determined to choose wisely, making sure you purchase quality items that also promote your baby's healthy development, and contemplating the countless claims made by product manufacturers is overwhelming. For example, you've heard that the toys hanging from a bouncer seat are good for baby's eye-hand coordination, while a stationary activity center strengthens their legs. Fact or fiction? Is it true that a baby walker helps your little one walk earlier? And do smart toys, baby videos, and educational programming for infants really stimulate intellectual development? I answer these questions and many more in Retro Baby. This book explains how crucial connections are formed between your infant's brain and muscles during the first year after birth. Describes how the overuse of certain baby equipment can hinder child development. Offers suggestions for daily time limits on particular pieces of baby equipment. Explains how positioning techniques and good old-fashioned play affect your baby's growth and development in a positive way. Includes a variety of fun, entertaining activities that enhance a child's ability to learn. Describes how to make traditional handmade toys to replace the budget-busting clutter on the market today. All this information helps you play a role in building a solid foundation for your child's future skills in school and life. When you use this authoritative, up-to-date source, you'll be faithfully supporting, but not rushing, your baby's mastery of developmental milestones. What you'll find in these chapters. Chapter 1 explains how a baby's brain and body are developing rapidly during the first year after birth. It also describes how the overuse of many baby products can have a negative effect on development and why the nervous system of a baby is simply not designed for the technological revolution that has occurred in our society. Chapters 2 and 3 review the stages of motor skill and sensory development that occur during your child's first 2 years using clear, straightforward language. Chapter 4 discusses the importance of the American Academy of Pediatrics Back to Sleep recommendation. It emphasizes how to have fun incorporating tummy time into your baby's routine. In Chapter 5, you'll find an overview of the negative consequences of overusing certain baby gear. It explains how overuse of equipment, such as carriers and swings, can lead to tight neck muscles and flat spots on a baby's head. On the positive side, it suggests alternative positions for fostering child development. Chapters 6 through 10 feature specific instructions for time-tested play positions and activities geared for each developmental stage. These engaging tasks enhance your baby's strength, movement, balance, and coordination skills, as well as mental and emotional development. In these chapters, you'll also find instructions for hand-making a variety of developmentally appropriate toys using common items in your home. To write clearly and without a gender bias, I will alternate the use of he and she between chapters. A starting point. This book is all about being flexible. So I want you to keep an open mind as you listen to the activities and suggestions. Certain ideas may work for you exactly as instructed, while others may offer a starting point for your own creative ideas and problem solving. For example, if an activity involves grasping a rattle and your baby's not holding items on his own yet, have him bat at a toy rather than grasp the rattle. By meeting your baby at his developmental level, you will provide experiences that support his growth and development. As much fun as you'll be having with the activities introduced in this book, take care not to overstimulate your baby, especially in the early weeks after birth. As you play with your little one, watch for signs of fatigue such as fussiness or turning away during an activity. Then you know it's break time. Always remember that as a parent, you intuitively know which activity suits your baby best. Trust your instincts. If your little one doesn't show interest in a particular activity, it may mean he's not developmentally ready for it. There's no rush. Simply try it again in a week or so. You will find that you naturally pick up on your baby's cues, and your sensitivity to his readiness can avoid a stressful situation for both of you. Guidance for your child's development. Throughout this book, I offer daily time limit suggestions for using particular pieces of baby equipment. When a baby spends too much time in baby gear, it limits the opportunities he has to be physically active and explore his surroundings. And less activity is not good for baby's muscle strength and motor skill development. Please note that the time limit suggestions are best-case scenarios and are only meant to serve as guidelines. For example, on a certain day, if a lot of travel time is necessary, reduce your baby's time in other pieces of equipment to make up for being in the car safety seat for a long period that day. If you're spending the day at the fair and your baby gets more stroller time than you prefer, he can spend more time in your arms or on the floor playing for the remainder of the evening. These guidelines were calculated from averages to responses from more than 150 baby gear surveys completed by pediatric, occupational, and physical therapists. Please understand that what therapists recommend may simply not be feasible at all times in real life. Therefore, don't feel guilty if you have a busy day and your baby spends more time in baby gear than you are comfortable with. Understandably, parents have to do what they have to do to get through a hectic time. Do your best to keep the guidelines in mind, and if you get off track one day, make a point to get back on track the following day. Avoid being drawn in by the marketing and advertising hype from baby product manufacturers. Instead, use the strategies and suggestions provided in this book to help you get back to the basics when caring for your little one. By limiting equipment use, being as screen-free as possible during the first 2 years, and having fun with activities included in this book, you'll guide your child's development in a healthy way. And what's the absolute best reason to carry out the developmental activities in Retro Baby? They'll give you lots of opportunities to spend one-on-one time with your baby, creating a special bond that will last a lifetime. Chapter 1. How the Baby Product Industry Affects Your Child's Development. More than 3 decades ago, I became a parent. Wanting to be totally prepared for my son's arrival in 1990, I had 4 major items on my must-have list: a car seat, a high chair, an infant seat, and a playpen. That's it. How things have changed. Today, with the vast number of baby gadgets and gizmos on the market, it's easy to get caught up in the baby equipment trap. In fact, it's common for new parents to spend up to $13,000 on baby-related products during the first year alone. Without a doubt, the parenting industry has become big business. With thousands of baby products available, today's parents, especially first-time parents, have to wonder how many items are necessary. Certainly more than 4, right? Besides wondering how many items are needed, parents can easily get overwhelmed by the vast array of choices. As a new parent, should you purchase a stroller that reclines or one that collapses with just one hand? Is a baby walker dangerous, or will it help your infant walk sooner? What about the travel system with a carrier that snaps out of the car and into a stroller? How safe is that? With my next 2 children, I got caught up in it all. By the time my youngest daughter was born, I had accumulated the following: a car seat system, a swing, a jumper, a bouncer seat, an activity mat, a high chair, a stationary activity center, a tummy time mat, an umbrella stroller, a jogging stroller, a double jogging stroller, a play yard, a baby monitor system, and a regular double stroller. Of course, this list doesn't include the standard crib, mobile, toys, and all the equipment the grandparents purchased to have in their house for their grandchildren. As we accumulated more equipment, not only were we spending an enormous chunk of our family budget on it, but our home also became increasingly cluttered. I can't tell you how many times I tripped over a bouncer seat or some other baby item in the middle of the night. Gradually, I began to wonder, is all this stuff worth it? Are these conveniences meant to simplify my life, actually complicating it? Plus, as a parent, I felt manipulated by an industry attempting to guilt me into believing I needed their products. What was truly necessary? Not only was the excess baby gear overwhelming us, but here's the kicker. I'd heard that overusing many highly touted products had the potential to negatively affect my baby's development. That did it. I was compelled to explore this idea further, and I was also planning to conduct research for my doctorate degree. The two came together beautifully. I chose to explore baby gear use as it relates to child development. Added to that was my curiosity about the effect of television, TV, and baby videos on child development. What exactly did the research say about this? I set out to discover the truth and to tell the truth to other concerned parents. A stimulating environment. A newborn comes into this world with 100 billion neurons. What are neurons? Basically, they are the building blocks of the brain. During early life, the brain forms multiple connections among these neurons, and connections are a good thing. Why? Brain research tells us that more connections mean greater potential for learning. Amazingly, approximately 1,000 trillion sextillion connections typically grow to connect the neurons in the brain during a child's first 3 years. The number of connections that form directly relates to a child's life experiences. As parents, this means you want to be sure to provide your baby with good nutrition, language exposure, and a strong emotional connection, as well as touch and movement. The more balanced yet stimulating baby's environment, the more nurturing and supportive interactions provided, the greater number of neurologic connections that form. What does this mean to parents? Whatever we do to stimulate and support our baby's development helps their brains thrive. In addition, as new connections among neurons constantly form, there are some neurons that don't get used, so that the brain stays efficient. Those unused neurons are pruned away, making room for new brain growth. This fact of nature tells us that IQ is not fixed at birth and explains why a newborn's brain doubles in size by age 3. Naturally, as parents, we want to support this growth and development. Yet we have to take a close look at many of the products on the market and carefully consider claims made about these products. For example, product advertising claims say that baby bouncers provide hours of fun and entertainment while delighting and developing your baby's senses, and stationary activity centers provide loads of entertainment while helping to develop walking skills. But are the manufacturers touting their goods actually telling the truth? Retro Baby provides answers and also shows what you can and should do to stimulate your baby's brain connections with many fun, time-tested activities that don't require expensive toys and baby gear. The risks. By limiting screen time and baby equipment, babies have more opportunities to experience loving touch, active movement, and emotional connection. For example, when a baby is positioned in a carrier for several hours while his mother shops, he does not have the benefits of holding his head up, actively moving his arms and legs, or visually exploring his surroundings, and he experiences limited social interaction with others. Spending too much time in carriers and other baby equipment can result in what physical and occupational therapists call container baby syndrome. This is not an actual medical syndrome. It is a term used to describe developmental problems that ensue as a result of babies being contained, so that they don't have sufficient opportunities to move about freely and strengthen their neck, trunk, arm, and leg muscles and develop their coordination. Let's highlight several common baby items available on the market today that are frequently overused. Car safety seats, swings, bouncer seats, and stationary activity centers. Plastic devices such as car safety seats, bouncer seats, swings, and stationary activity centers keep a baby confined to one area. Thus, if overused, they contribute to delays in developing motor skills. That's because when a baby is positioned in one of these devices, he has limited use of the muscles in his trunk, neck, arm, and legs. Instead, he's forced to sit with his hips, knees, and elbows bent. Overuse of these products can even lead to the development of flat spots on your baby's head, called positional skull deformities, occipital plagiocephaly. You may also hear it referred to as flat head syndrome. When a baby's head rests against the hard plastic surfaces of these devices for long periods, the excess pressure can lead to flattening of baby's soft skull. Please note, it is absolutely necessary to use a car safety seat any time your child rides in a motor vehicle, so any limits on you should only be outside the car. Also, it is best to take frequent breaks and limit travel time as much as possible in the early months after birth. Unfortunately, the number of babies diagnosed with occipital plagiocephaly has increased by 60% in recent years. Also, research has revealed that babies who spend more time in baby gear have lower motor skills scores than those with less equipment use. These devices aren't intended for extended use. 30 minutes is a good time limit for most of them. Considering the risks involved, including a flat spot on the head and slowed motor skill development, it's well worth limiting baby's time in plastic gear. Smart toys. Smart toys incorporate computer technology that allows the toy to respond to a baby's actions in certain ways. These toys can light up, recite the ABCs, vibrate, and sing. When a little one is given a smart toy, his innate creativity and problem-solving skills aren't required because all he has to do is push a button and wait to see what happens. When you give a baby a high-tech toy, he is typically delighted and tries it out several times. However, once he figures out what it does, the toy usually falls by the wayside. At the end of the day, he'll probably end up playing with the box the fancy toy came in more than the toy itself. A more desirable toy would promote interaction, encourage pretend play, and foster creativity. Traditional toys like building blocks and puzzles are better for your baby's brain development. Indeed, the fewer moving parts a toy has, the more creativity is required. The perfect toy engages a child's imagination while stimulating and supporting physical, mental, and social development. Truth be told, don't reach for the most costly and high-tech toy in the toy store. A toy should be developmentally appropriate and encourage problem-solving and imaginary play. For example, a simple set of building blocks provides endless entertainment and is wonderful for baby's visual and motor skill development. Televisions and videos. Consider the negative effects on the developmental process when a baby watches educational videos. While watching videos, he passively stares at a screen without moving or interacting with others, not to mention the overstimulation that can occur from the flashing images and sounds coming from the screen. For example, one study found that for every hour each day spent watching baby videos, babies learned 6 to 8 fewer new vocabulary words than babies who did not watch videos. So the more time babies spent watching videos, the fewer words they knew. Research also indicates that low academic achievement, limitations with attention span, obesity, aggression, and sleep impairments are associated with overuse of childhood technology. Unfortunately, the average daily TV viewing time for children younger than 2 years in this country is 1 to 2 hours, and this time span typically increases with age. Research reveals that watching TV interferes with communication between parent and child, which in itself is detrimental to a child's language development. One study found that when a TV is on in the home, less speech is taking place. Babies vocalize less, and their caregivers talk to them less often. On average, for every additional hour of TV viewed, there was a decrease of 770 words heard by the child from the parent. That represents a 7% decrease in words to which baby is exposed. Research has established that the number of words a baby hears directly affects his language development up to the age of 3, and the vocabulary size of a 2-year-old often predicts the language skills he'll have 10 years later. Additionally, TV viewing interferes with play, and it is associated with inattentiveness and hyperactivity. To date, limited research exists that demonstrates that learning truly takes place when a baby views commercial baby videos. In fact, several studies suggest that constant and rapid changing of scenes in videos affects a child's subsequent ability to focus on academic tasks. Interestingly, a large percentage of parents who were surveyed reported letting their babies watch TV because they believed it was educational. Yet when a child watches TV, his imagination and creativity are limited. Regrettably, in recent years, car video players have become extremely popular with families with young kids. Many parents believe playing videos in the minivan is the perfect way to entertain their children on road trips. Although this does keep them occupied, it's likely many parents are unaware of the risks to their little ones posed by the digital screen. Truth be told, in the 1970s, most all children's programming was on the weekends. Now, children's programming is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, including channels with programming exclusively for babies and toddlers. Electronic tablets and smartphones. To add to all the electronic devices available, there are interactive tablets and smartphones to consider. Many babies and toddlers absolutely love playing with touchscreen technology, and it's no wonder. The touchscreen provides instant gratification with its cool images, movements, and sounds appealing to their senses. Understandably, many parents are thrilled with this interactive technology because, mostly through media ads, they've heard that babies can learn letters, numbers, words, and concepts. However, to date, there is limited research studying the connection between tablets or smartphones and infant learning. Whether traveling in the car or waiting in the pediatrician's office, it's not uncommon for parents to hand over a smartphone, laptop, or tablet to their toddler. To parents, these devices act much like a babysitter, and with hundreds of apps available for young children, they're increasingly appealing to little ones. Are there potential benefits or harms to babies being exposed to these interactive screens? Again, more research is needed. For older children, the interactive element allows them to learn concepts such as cause and effect and sequencing. But for babies still experiencing critical brain development, long-term effects remain unclear. When it comes to screen time, the American Academy of Pediatrics has made a clear stance. It advises eliminating screen time for children younger than 2 years old completely, linking it to language learning delays. It's important to note that just like TVs, videos, and computers, tablets and cell phones have screens too. Truth be told, in years past, when little ones didn't watch a video screen, including TV, as much as they do today, they played with toys they could manipulate for hours on end. They stacked blocks, tossed balls, banged on toy pianos, and played with shape sorters. This type of play develops fine motor skills and bilateral coordination, the ability to use both hands together with ease. So when children get older and start school, they can hold a pencil correctly and have the foundation needed to learn how to write. Numerous studies have shown that children learn better from real-life experiences than screen time, especially activities that involve moving and doing. Unfortunately, when the use of tablets, smartphones, and computers is added to TV time, it has been estimated that the average 12-month-old is exposed to up to 2 hours of screen time a day. Truth be told, what are the primary reasons parents report for exposing their children younger than 2 years to electronic media? education, entertainment, and babysitting. Although it might sound cool for a baby to learn the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?